Welcome to Gospel Revolution Church. Welcome to everybody watching online. It's good to be here. It's always good to be here. It's always good to talk Jesus. It never fails. It doesn't matter how many times I hear that song. It just like tears me up. I think one of the main reasons why is because we can often find ourselves in a place where we can look at our lives and think, I need a miracle. Right? And so I love the song, you know, there's a miracle in the works, right? And it's not that there can't be like a different kind of miracle in the works, and we can get caught up in, yes, I need a miracle. But I love at the end how that gal tears into that Jesus is the miracle, right? And so the miracle has occurred in that Jesus came into the earth, laid down his life at the cross, and was raised from the dead, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, and the Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is dwelling in you through the Holy Spirit. That is the miracle. And you hear that gal at the end. You can never be denied. You can never be denied. And so what she's saying there is deeply prophetic. It's not just a nice tune, right? I don't know if you can tell, but she's like in it. You see what I'm saying? Like she ain't rehearsing. Right? She's like experiencing what she's talking about. You can never be denied. And what she's saying there is absolutely true. And so I want everybody just to take from that song, what does it mean that he can never be denied? He's in you and he can never be denied. And I want you guys to think about what that means, because Paul come and talk about the mystery that was hidden from the ages has been revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what she's talking about. You can never be denied, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That word hope isn't like the world's kind of hope. Because when we think of hope, we say, well, I hope I get to go on vacation. And when we say, I hope I get to go on vacation, we say it like we don't really know if we're going to be able to. That ain't the hope that Paul's talking about when he says Christ in you, the hope of glory. What he's saying there is that Christ living in you could never be denied. And what that means is you have a certainty that life will be made manifest in you. That the life that's in you could never be denied. That whether death, whether peril, whether sword, whether famine, whether shipwreck, it doesn't matter what could come upon you. The life that's inside of you can never be denied. And the reason we know that is because we see it manifested in Jesus when he came out of the grave. And so if you need a miracle, man, I just encourage you, let your mind go away from your circumstances and thinking the miracle you need is in your circumstances. And what I encourage you to start connecting with is that Christ is inside of you. And that gives you a certainty that life will be made manifest. And you can start talking with God about the life he's got inside of you, how God himself is dwelling in you, and he can never be denied. Nothing can keep God from manifesting himself in you. That's the miracle. And so it doesn't matter what you're experiencing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. What you want to know is that God has placed his incorruptible seed inside of you, and it can never be denied. It has given you a certainty that it will bring forth life in you. Yes. Right? So rather get your eyes off of what you think needs to change for you to have life, and rather start thinking about how the life is inside of you from Jesus, and nothing can keep that life from coming forth. Hallelujah. That will bring a revival in your thinking, right? That will take, when Lazarus came out of the grave and they took off his grave clothes, that will remove the grave clothes from you that tries to come upon you when you encounter things in this world, right? Christ in you. I want to put language to that that makes sense to us. Christ in you, the certainty that life will be made manifest. Isn't that what we want? And everything we think about with our lives, isn't that what we want? We want life to be made manifest. God has given you a certainty that life will be made manifest in you. And the gospel comes to encourage you in that, so that your mind is filled with the life of God that's in you like a river of living water, right? And nothing can keep it from coming forth. That's the power of the gospel. It's a simple thing. So, glory to God. That's the message before the message. Guys, we'll meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. So if you're around, come hang out. It'll be good. Wednesday night, we will meet at the Jenkins. That'll be 2 weeks in a row. My goodness. I think we'll get some rhythm going again now that I'm back in town. And, you know, unless I die from the Lyme disease. It can never be denied. It can never be denied. I'm only kidding about the dying, Becky, if you're watching. But even should I die, I'll be raised. It's like, you know, in the early church, they winked at death, they said. They actually said they ran towards it. They ran towards it because they knew that Jesus could never be denied, right? They knew that life would be made manifest to them. There's even a passage in Revelation talking about the saints in the early church. It says they love not their lives even unto death. You can't bring that forth yourself, but start talking with God about what does that mean? Because I promise you, in the church, we've been raised up in a worldly kind of a way where we've been taught to love our life in the earth. Meaning to look for our lives hid in the things in the world. And now we even use the gospel to try to use the gospel to give us a good life in the world. But the apostles love not their life in the world, even unto death. Why? Don't say that's what you're supposed to do, but start asking God, why? How? I don't understand. He'll tell you. He'll bring it forth. Right? And there's great liberty in that. What does Janis Joplin say? Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You become a dangerous person in the world when you got nothing left to lose, right? You see, the gospel comes to give you that by giving you an incorruptible life, right? You count it all things as loss, right? And then in counting everything as loss, you see what you've gained. And Jesus even came talking about that. Those who lose their lives gain it, right? And those who try to gain their lives in the world lose it. Hallelujah. Ladies, there you guys are meeting at Linda's house on Fridays, beginning at 9. What do you guys chat it up from 9 to 10? 9 to 9:30. You're very strict. That surprises me, Linda. So they're very strict. If you like to chat it up, 9 to 9:30, and then the Bible study starts from 9:30. Ladies, it's an awesome time there. Thing I love about the Bible studies is, you know, you don't have to come to this church to go to the Bible studies. Right? This isn't like you must be a member here kind of a thing, right? Come to the Bible studies, come to church, go to another, whatever. Glory to God. And then, as always, on Sunday morning, we do a Bible study back there at 9. So if you prefer like a group talk dynamic, we do that back there, right? Before we do this. That's if you were here, this dear sister was here. She heard me back there ranting and raving. Preaching the gospel. That's what goes on back there from 9 to 10. We famously call it adult Sunday school. And we don't have an agenda. We just sit down and say, what do you want to talk about? And then, you know, magnificently, the Holy Spirit always does something. And then, man, my little brother, Patrick, my little big brother, man, him and his wife, Ashley, had a baby on Friday. Yeah. So they had a little girl named Riley, 7.5 pounds. And she's sweet as can be and precious. And my mom said she went to go see little baby Riley, and baby Riley was all swaddled and, you know, clothed and peaceful and yawning and just loving life. And then the nurse came and uncovered her nakedness to poke and prod and check her out. And then Riley started crying and freaking out. And I say it like that because it's a natural thing, but the natural things describe something spiritual. I mean, even in little Riley and her nakedness being uncovered, you could see the first man, Adam, being filled with fear and shame when his nakedness was uncovered, right? And then feeling peaceful when he was clothed upon. And so Riley was swaddled. And that's what God comes to do. He swaddles us in his life, right? And we feel clothed upon. And that brings a peace and a comfort, right? And the world's always trying to uncover our nakedness. You can see God in everything. Glory to God. So congratulations, Pat and Ashley. Man, what a beautiful thing. And then, man, as you guys know, we've been gathering everybody from all the four corners of the earth to meet together, ourselves, Gospel Revolution Church and Dynamic Love Ministries, Batterty and I. So many of the people in our churches are scattered all over the place and sometimes can feel lonely. So we started making a point to try to gather everybody together in one locale. James was there in Branson. It was awesome having James there. But we're doing it this year, April 3rd through the 6th in 2025. It will be in Statesville, North Carolina. You can find information at gathering25.eventbrite.com. We'll have group talks. We'll have speakers from all over the world. We'll have Batterthee Brits from South Africa. We'll have Linda McFarland from Canada. We'll have Phelim Doherty from Northern Ireland. We'll have Gwendolyn McLeod from Tulsa. We'll have Rick Sarville from Murder Beach. Joshua Hurley from North Carolina. John Bligg from San Antonio. And then the least of all these, myself, I guess I'll say something. People require it. I'll say something and I'll be the master of ceremonies, but we'll have lunch and dinner together again Friday and Saturday. And that was one of the most powerful things. Those of you who were there last time, all of us sitting in the room eating together instead of breaking and going off in pockets of 10, but sitting there and eating together. So we'll do that again, catered Friday and Saturday. We'll have group discussions after the morning sessions where everybody can share what they got and have space to express God, because God is in all of you. And it's nice to come hear somebody speak, but I tell you what, it pales in comparison to you sharing what God is doing in you and you getting to vocalize it with people. That's a powerful thing. There's nothing like feeling God come out of you, right? It's like a sign and a wonder. You know, wow, God just came out of me. Hallelujah. You know, so the group talks are awesome. We might give space for some times for people to give testimonies of what the gospel has done in their lives, the message of the cross and the resurrection. But, you know, I'm bartering with Thomas. I told him we'll do it if he commits to coming. Thomas Kiefer. So if you want some open mic time, you got to start texting Thomas and tell him he has to be there. But we'll do that. Then we'll have a social. It'll end on Sunday at noon, and we'll have a social at a mansion on Lake Norman. So if you're making plans and you're thinking about how long you want to be there for, you want to think about that. And Lake Norman is about 25 minutes from where the hotel will be. We have a group rate at the hotel. I think it's $129 a night at the hotel. It's the Hilton Garden Inn in Statesville. All that information is on the Eventbrite page. This year we do have a registration fee so we can get a better idea for the head count on the food, so we don't order food for way too many people, right? So the registration fee is $40 a person, but I promise you one of the meals, $40 won't even cover one of the meals you'll get. So talk to people that were there last year. The food was amazing. The food will be equally amazing. If you can't pay the registration fee, we would never want that to get in the way of you being able to come. So message me privately. No one has to know, and we'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. And I say we through the generosity of the people in our fellowship, right? It's not the generosity of Greg Henry. No, it's the generosity of all the people that are part of the church, people that make donations for the gathering. So I think that we'll have live worship with Sade, Champagne, and Sarah Mount and Lucas Pritz. Those of you that helped facilitate the group talk tables, I'm kind of wanting to pencil you in again. So if you don't think you're going to be there, tell me so I remove you and get somebody else. And you can always hit me up for more information. Oh, there's a Facebook page, On Earth As It Is in Heaven. Go and like that page so you can get updates. I'll start posting pictures from last year probably at some point. And hit me up if you have any questions. And then we want to welcome James Tuttle and his parents and his uncle to Slidell, man. It's so awesome you guys could be here. Let's give them a hand. Just wait one more second, James. I wanted to acknowledge your family. And then we just want to say what a joy it is to have Rick and Deb here again. You know, it's no small thing to have you guys with us. It's no small thing to have you guys back. You made a deep impact on all of our lives. I hope you guys know. If you're online and you're thinking you want to make a donation to the gathering, if you feel that you have exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, and you feel generosity to make a donation, you could do it at gospelrevolutionchurch.com, and we will get that to its rightful place. And then, man, what an awesome thing. Phil was talking about, you know, the dynamic where you have a group of people and different people get up and share. And so today's a special day for me. Because James, it's not just that he's here to listen to me preach, but James is here to share the gospel. And James and I have been walking together for a long time now. He's been a great friend to me, to the church. He loves the gospel. He loves people. And man, we're just honored that he would even want to come share. So James, you want to come up, man? Glory to God. James Tuttle, ladies and gentlemen. Are you on? Did you turn yourself on there?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on. We're just going to pray real quick. Thank you, Father, for James's life. Thank you, Lord, for joining yourself together with him, that he's in you and you're in him. I just thank you, Lord, that you've touched his mouth with your hand and that out of his mouth will come rivers of living water. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your life. Thank you for James. Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. I remember I've been listening to this message for about 8 years, and the one thing that drew me was I could finally be content being single. Yes! Anyway, yeah, so I love this gospel. I love to post it online. Actually, there's other people in San Antonio who know this gospel, and there's John Bligg who will be speaking at the gathering. I will totally vouch for him. And then if you've ever met Gina Boren, we meet up regularly. And she actually met my cat, but I forgot my cat's name. Oh. By the way, if there's anyone watching who doesn't know, I actually named my cat Slidell. But yeah, you can look me up online on Facebook. If you want to look up my ministry, it's DRez Ministry. It's on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and MySpace. Yeah, I was hoping that one would go. No one uses MySpace. That's the joke. but yeah, I do, I do start doing monthly potlucks. I like to read books. I've been thinking of doing something for kids. I was thinking of doing puppet shows, but I might be moving to animation. But I'll just, sit with the Spirit and see what he leads me to do. But anyway, so there is really something both personal and prophetic about this message. Personal because it is how the life in us glorifies the Father, so all around him can see it. But there is, there relates to a lot of my struggles. And I don't just mean dating, but having autism, not being diagnosed for 19 years. That was actually, that used to be a lot more common. But it created all kinds of trouble with not knowing how to act in certain situations. If I really got obsessed with a topic, then I would just talk on and on and on. And this really bothered my sister. And yes, how many of you have fought with your siblings? Be honest. that was part of the fights with my siblings. And really, this created this mentality of, even that after a while, I started treating it through supplements, and started learning. But trying to learn all these communication and social skills to clothe myself with life instead of living all my interactions and communication from that life. And, I'll even say there was mistreatment from the church. I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with that. And then even certain people I've wanted to minister to, like I'm thinking of my grandfather, or even when I was a taxi driver wanting to minister to the my passengers. And I did have a lot of regulars too, would actually call me on my cell phone. I could actually remember their names. That was really fun. But there's also something prophetic because, as we sit in this word of eternal life, really, we're going to see that light shine more and more. And just as this whole light's been shining me for this past year, it's going to shine even brighter. And that's going to happen to you all, too. You've been seeing it shine, and it's just going to shine brighter. And really, the main transition for me happened March 3rd last year, where I had a conversation with Ray Vella, and my interaction started changing. My mind started renewing to the word at a much more rapid pace. And then a few months ago, I just hit a low point. It's like, how do I minister to people? I felt another low point with dating, but all I knew was there was all this weakness and I needed God. I wanted everyone to know who God was. And that's when I started contrasting that wisdom of communicating to build life versus communicating from the life we've been given. And then I came up and the Holy Spirit revealed a mantra to me, the life in me will glorify the Father. And I just meditated on that thought. But first, just look into this. We need to look at what's important in our relationships, because even in the body of Christ, we have this very distorted sense of what's important. We make our behaviors important, right? How we treat other people, how others treat us. And I've read tons of religious books on relationships that would just fuel it even more. But that's not what we see with Jesus. And you want to know what was important to Jesus with relationships? While people were nailing him to a cross, which is a lot worse than anything anyone's ever done to me. But the thing that was important to Jesus is eternal life, right? They were nailing the cross, but he knew that eternal life was him, so he was safe. And, you know, Greg mentioned, Greg sometimes talks about Psalms 22. All of Psalms, by the way, is the whole journey the Holy Spirit took through Jesus on the cross. So his life was safe in the Father. Well, he knew the heart of the people killing him. He knew they were stung by death. And by the way, okay, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." This is going to blow you away, but "said" in the Greek is imperfect tense, meaning this was actually a repeated thing and he did not actually say this once. He said that he was thinking of this a whole lot, right? So what the sting of death does is it causes us to preserve ourselves and really do all kinds of horrible things. So when you really start sitting with God, you will start to see, like, oh, other people's behaviors, that's the sting of death. That's why my sister and I fought a lot. That's why, you know, we see so many problems in the church. We sometimes try to feel good about it by saying, well, there's no such thing as a perfect church, which is just a cliche, but it's really overlooking the fact that, yeah, what you do stems from whether or not you're grounded in God's gift of eternal life. And looking at, you know, my sister's control, there's, you know, people control for different reasons. Like, sometimes people don't feel listened to. And I've known people, I'm like, you know, perhaps the thing to do if someone's trying to control your behavior, perhaps acknowledge that it actually is unpleasant to them. They might actually feel listened to because God certainly understands why that thing is unpleasant. I mean, it's normal for people who feel the sting of death to feel things are unpleasant. You know, some people who are controlling, I can be this way, they like things well done, and they don't like things that are poorly done. And I'm very creative. In fact, even my favorite director, Stanley Kubrick, tried to control things. All his movies were dealt with themes of control, but, you know, people want, but the thing is, like, that reflects God, but, you know, when God works in our hearts, those don't become a lust, and you're able to let go of those things. And sometimes people just feel so bad about themselves, they just have to control others to feel good. But, you know, my reaction, I will admit, I did get my sister back one time. So she would talk, pause, I would start talking, and then she would say, when I was done, she would say, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, so I was talking, pause, she started talking, then I said, now as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, but that's like, even if her behavior changed, that doesn't transform the heart. Now, this movie has some horrible stuff in it, but there is a movie called A Clockwork Orange where they actually tried to change a guy's behavior without actually changing his heart. And he still wanted to do behavior, but all these techniques only stopped him. And that was the only thing stopping him. But, you know, we've always felt that. And I can, but it was, for me, I think two things that really helped understand three things for what was in people's hearts. I just had some conversations with my mom about them. Like, yeah, I know this is what's going on. I talked to God about that too. Like, what's going on in these people's hearts. I had a lot of conversations about that. And really, I remember saying, I don't yet pray, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing, but I want to think, I want to be in line with Jesus, think the same thing that compelled him to say that. And another thing that actually God spoke to me through was a movie called Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Have you seen that movie? If you've never seen the movie, Steve Martin plays a businessman who just wants to get home for Thanksgiving. There's all these transportation delays, and he's stuck with an obnoxious partner, travel partner, played by John Candy. Yeah, comedy gold. But I'm not going to say how the movie ends. If you know the movie, you know, like, I don't want to ruin it, but I'll just say that Steve Martin does learn to see what's going on in John Candy's heart, right? And all this comes with what happened with Jesus on the cross, comes when we rest in our sonship, right? Resting from that life. Because when I think back to when I was a taxi driver, when I was into all that charismatic stuff, you know, I was like begging God to bring revival. I want to preach the gospel. Okay, you know, when's everything going to change? I did a road trip to Toronto, and there was a lot of charismatic conferences in Pennsylvania I went to. I got prayed by the guy with the special anointing. And, you know, I was begging, you know, believing that God withheld his life from me. But as I started meditating on this word of eternal life, then the only logical conclusion is that a loving God would live in us and cause ministry to happen naturally as he works in our hearts, right? And we see that in Jesus. His ministry happened naturally. And Jesus is our example of what it means to be a son of God, and which really was declared in his resurrection, as it's declared that we'll be raised just like Jesus physically, but we are raised now as well to experience that life. And this is also going to shock religion, but Jesus didn't do any ministry for 30 years. And, you know, religion puts us on all this burden for minister. How many of you have ever felt pressured to invite people to church? You ever feel that pressure? That was one of the huge ones. And they would, in my church youth group, they did so many incentives. But even before he did ministry, he got baptized, and the Father still declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And really, there's other reasons. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to put things off. Sometimes we do need to grow in wisdom and stature. I mean, all that church abuse I went through, really, there's one particular church I went to, named after a certain Bible college in Colorado, that really, the way I related to people really, really changed. And actually, after that, I was actually watching a movie commentary, and they talked about how this character had something called borderline personality disorder. I'm like, I fit the criteria, but I never got a diagnosis, because I knew, like, this was just stuff in my own heart that had to be weeded out. And by the way, the movie was actually Star Wars. If you've watched the prequels, there's like a lot of mental health stuff that can be said about that. But yeah, that all really had to get weeded out. And it'll happen naturally without thinking. Similar to driving a car. If you gain a skill really well, what actually happens is you get so much exposure. If you're very knowledgeable about any topic, you get so much exposure, you just know what to do naturally. And that's, psychologists call it intuition. And it's amazing how, right, and we start doing what we do, things naturally. It's like, I'm a son of God. I want to reflect God. I'll just how do I feel like reflecting God? And this takes up so much pressure off decisions. This makes it so much easier every time I talk to a girl. I just remember the other day I was at a Starbucks. I complimented the barista's eyes, and I'm like, all right, that was nice. I feel good about doing that. But Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice," right? That voice that the Father gives his life as a free gift, and no other voice will he follow. And really, it's actually a lot of this came from when I started dressing well. It was just like I knew what I wanted to wear. But even after that day on March 3rd, there was a huge change. Someone asked what I do. I just told them, even though I work food delivery, I just told them I wanted to go into full-time ministry. If they asked why, I said, they gave a few different answers. I said, the body of Christ is coming to a full awakening of who God is. One of my answers was the best way to experience the goodness of God is to properly understand why Jesus died and was raised. And so if I have any idea of something I might want to do, I just tell God and eventually see if I do it. But finally, I'll have to say that this is a very personal thing that the Holy Spirit takes you on your own personal journey. First of all, I have a time limit, and I'm kind of speaking a lot more quickly just because I'm not used to speaking in front of people. But there's only so much I could say in one day. I might write a book about this, or how our light shines, or even do an online course, a YouTube series. I may or may not. But ultimately, when you clean something, what are you cleaning? What are you cleaning off of it? Right? Certain clothes is dry clean only. And really, we all have our own personalities. And as the Holy Spirit renews our mind, he has to do what works for us, whichever lies we're believing. Even Jesus, the Holy Spirit spoke to Jesus about his sonship through the virgin birth and the scriptures, right? And sometimes he has to lay new foundations before we can go to other things. For example, I had to go back on all my past experience and just, through that, just say, God was with me. God was with me. God was with me. Okay, now I know he's with me. And if he's always with me, my light can always shine if he's always with me. And another thing, too, I really love is speaking in tongues. It's talked a bit about in 1 Corinthians 14. But I looked a little bit into the subconscious mind and recently. And this is really what happens with speaking in tongues is our conscious mind, there's a limit. Right? There's a lot of confusion about speaking in tongues. It's not the sign we have the Holy Spirit. The sign we have the Holy Spirit is Jesus was raised from the dead. And it's not something to make things happen, but really it's a tool to work on our minds subconsciously because of our own weakness, right? Sometimes there's too much for our conscious minds to process. Sometimes we're so stuck in the lie, or we're just doing something that has to have a subconscious level. Well, even theologian N.T. Wright actually said he holds people in situations in the love of God more when he prays in tongues than he just regularly prays. And he's used certain people in my life. For example, if you were at the Branson gathering, Phelan's message was huge. I remember that one was on what the prophetic is. Another one, I remember in 2022 having a chat with Greg. He told me that, God would cause me to see what's in the hearts of other people and a few other things. But I also write in a prayer journal 15 minutes a night. Another thing too was when I was talking with God about some of my dating struggles recently, I'm like, why would girls want someone with autism? They never get dates. God said, you're assuming your light's not shining because of the death you see in your body. Well, the death in Jesus' body was on display on the cross, and it was shining. So no matter what you see going on in your body, what your situation, your light is shining. And he's had to work with me to also, I have selective mutism. It's a processing issue where it's hard to talk when emotions are high. So sometimes I have to just sit with the Holy Spirit to work with him on my emotions, submitting them to God, letting him label them, and letting the Holy Spirit guide me in articulation. And over time it gets easier, and it's just communicating over time, it just becomes easier. That's really what it's about. It's resting in God's goodness to really renew our minds, and we're eventually going to see, you know, just, we always see our light shining, but we're just going to see it shining brighter. Thanks a lot. And remember, if you've seen the empty tomb, you've seen the Father.